broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
More than a country, America is an idea.
It is an honor and a privilege to stand here.
I told him, well, I'd like, you know, if I do contribute, I would like for my son.
Well, I would like to just have a job and
F
home.
You.
Good adjustments.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go places some of these other jive ass mothers can't go. PhilHendryShow.com is the place where you go for all of your Phil Hendry needs. We've got our live streaming video, live streaming audio, live stream, everything streaming over there. It's all real liquid. Coming up this hour, it is our news hour. We have Robert Leonard and we have Bud Dickman. Story about a guy getting a speeding ticket while rushing his wife to the hospital. Do you feel sorry for him? After you hear this story, you won't. And a girl in a coma gets cited for jaywalking. Do you feel sorry for her? After you hear the story, you won't. And then we have the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. He lands some job offers, and we're going to be talking to a guy that has offered him a job, Toss Rogers from WONI Radio in Columbus, Ohio. In our As You'd Like to Hear Them segment coming up this hour, 877-876-PHIL, Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman along the way.
I can't wait to hear what you say about this.
Well, this is a story that this is near and dear to my heart. And as I did during the pre-show, I'll do it right now if you're watching on video, you can see the story. Man gets speeding ticket for rushing wife in labor to hospital. Now, this is a very difficult concept for people to get, but I'm going to keep hammering this home, if you'll pardon the expression, until you understand. ABC News authored this story, but it could have been CBS or NBC, and ABC News authored the story the way they authored it because ABC News, like NBC, like CBS, like all of them, is losing its ass when it comes to the gathering and dissemination of information. So is this a news story, or is this a bedtime story? Well, the way ABC News wrote it, it's a bedtime story because they want you to read this as a morality tale. Man taking wife to hospital, she's pregnant, and guess what happens? The fascist police state pulls him over or attempts to give him a ticket, and yet he still is able to get his wife to the hospital. And once again, average man prevails over the Nazis and the fascists that run New Hampshire. Now, that's basically the story. I know that it's not that extreme, but that's what ABC want. They basically want you to come away with that feeling. Now, is that reporting? Of course it isn't. Is that spinning? Yes, it is. More to the point, is it propaganda? Yeah. In other words, what it is I need for you to keep reading this story or you're going to go to another news source and read something else. So when you read news, and I don't care how smart you guys think you are, and I know that most of you are, if you're listening to this show, you're smart, but say you just happened upon this radio program and you don't really know what we're all about, there's a good chance that you're not very smart. And I'm going to tell you something, and you can disagree if you want, but as much as people say they don't trust the news media, they believe everything they hear. John Coughlin put the pedal to the metal and rushed his pregnant wife to the hospital, arriving with only 6 minutes to spare before his son was born. In addition to bringing their newborn home, the new father also got a speeding ticket. Now, here comes the quote, and it's from the father. It's not from the cop. It's not from the highway patrol. It's from the father. And he says, the officer said, congratulations on your son, and the bad news is that I'm going to have to see you in court, Coughlin recalled. John and Angela Coughlin were en route to the Catholic Medical Center in Manchester, New Hampshire, at about 3 a.m. on September the 18th, when a state trooper pulled out from a rest area and began following them. John Coughlin said his wife's water had broken during the drive to the hospital, so he made his family's safety his first priority and sped to the emergency room at 102 miles per hour in a 55. I don't know if any of you have ever actually broken 100 miles an hour. I have. You know it. It ain't 80. It ain't 90. It's 100. So he says that his family's safety was his first priority, see?
Yeah, but wouldn't that be yours?
Yeah, my family's safety would be important, but I also have to consider something else.
Right.
That I don't murder anybody else on my way to the hospital. Would you think that maybe that's somewhere in the plan?
Well, my guys, his wife's water broke. I don't know what that means.
You know, when the water, you don't know what it means. When the water breaks, it means that the baby, the water sac that covers and protects the child, has now broken, and the baby's, you know, arrival is imminent.
What do you mean water sac?
I'm not going to get into it, okay? But the point is, he's panicked now. So he's doing 102 miles an hour. Now there's a cop behind him. Now, this guy was on Good Morning America. I knew I just had to get them to safety, said Dad. Let's listen here. John Coughlin tells NECN television about his encounter with this Manchester officer.
I found my cell phone. I called 911 to make sure that he knew I wasn't trying to outrun him. He said, congratulations on your son, but I'll see you in court. I really didn't think it was a big deal. I wasn't recklessly driving. I wasn't speeding on a Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock. I was just getting them to safety.
You were doing 102 miles an hour, man. And what do you mean you weren't recklessly driving? Here's the quote from the guy. My number one concern was the safety of my wife and my child. I wasn't thinking about anything else but the safety of my wife and my child. I was mostly concerned for the safety of my wife and my unborn child. I didn't realize how fast I was going at all until he gave me the ticket.
Yeah, but the guy, he was worried about his wife when the water got busted. That's what you said.
What do you mean the water got busted?
Well,
what
did you say?
The water broke, man. That's what happens.
What's that mean?
I just got done telling you what it means, okay? I'm not going to go into it again. You know, if a guy is so concerned with the safety of his wife and so concerned with the safety of his newborn and so concerned with the whole overall grooviness of being a dad that he's doing 102 miles an hour, he's not thinking about anybody else, he doesn't even know how fast he's going... I don't give a damn if the kid gets born in the car. Let me explain something to you guys, okay?
That's not even clean.
Let me explain something to you. Babies have been born since the beginning of time in ditches, out in the middle of fields, in the back of taxi cabs, in elevators. They've been born in huts. They've been born in igloos. They've been born underwater. They've been born in bathrooms. They have been born everywhere in concentration camps, at Woodstock. Babies get born. And they're very, very hardy creatures. Babies, as a matter of fact, if you remember the news stories from the Mexico City earthquake back in the 80s, infants survived 3-4 days. You know how tough a baby is?
What do you mean how tough?
Babies are brand new to the world, Jack, and nobody's going to be checking them out anytime soon because they just fought their way out of the womb. Now you had these newborn infants laying in rubble for 3-4 days alive. Okay.
Well, now you're scaring me.
Why?
Well, now you make like some kind of, you know, baby that eats dirt and everything's going to come at you.
Eats dirt?
Well, yeah, you're making it sound like Super Baby. Like it was a new breed or something?
It ain't no Super Baby. I'm telling you that this is the way infants are. Eats dirt.
Well, how else did it stay alive?
Because those infants were fighting for their lives. So the point that I'm making here is that here is Daddy who's getting all panicked, and that's fine. And let me tell you something. I don't care if a guy's panicked. I don't care if he doesn't know and he's... Because the fact of the matter is, if this jackass had hit someone and killed someone going 102 miles an hour when he doesn't know how fast he's going, doesn't understand how fast he's going, only cares about his wife and kid, that's fantastic. We got a world full of people that only care about their wife and kid. In fact, we're up to our ass in people who only care about their wife and kid. We got everybody out there thinks that their wife and their kid, the sun rises and sets on them. Meanwhile, the rest of the world can go cook, right? Now, here's a guy doing 102, doesn't know he's doing 102, isn't aware of the world around him, isn't aware of anything else that's going on other than the fact he's going to do 102 and he's on his way to the hospital. And he gets a ticket, and now here comes the wife. She said, oh, my God, I thought we went to the first court date that it would just get thrown out. Well, no, it wasn't going to get thrown out, ma'am. Well, I don't understand. Well, your husband was speeding, and he was endangering the lives and the safety and the well-being of other humans. I was having a baby, and you were having a baby. That's, you know, you were having a baby. Your life wasn't going to end. You might have had the baby in the car. Maybe not would have had the baby. We don't know, you know. But in the meantime, your husband's doing 102. So guess what? He gets a ticket. Now, she thought it was going to get thrown out, and it's not getting thrown out. And now they have to come back. And she says, I thought maybe he had to write us a ticket because we called it in, but I didn't know it would escalate. It's not an escalation. What happens is you go to court, you plead not guilty, and then it goes to the judge. Now, the Coughlin family said they're fighting the ticket, meaning they pled not guilty, because now here's the part I don't get. If he pleads guilty and pays the fine, he could lose his driver's license. Why is that?
That's probably what will happen on account of that.
No. What are you talking about? Since when does a speeding ticket mean that you lose your license?
Well, I mean, what do you mean?
What do you mean, what do I mean? Here's the quote. The Coughlin family's fighting the ticket because they say if he pleads guilty and pays the fine, he could lose his driver's license. Why?
Because he...
Calm down. Take a drink of water.
Because they might have said it was reckless.
Aha! So it was reckless.
Well, they didn't say that.
Well, whatever it is they said, this guy's afraid of losing his license. There must be something other than speeding. Or maybe this cat's got a record. Maybe he has a little something on his driver's license. Maybe this ain't the first time he's been speeding.
You take a beautiful moment like the birth of a child and pee all over it.
That's me. That's what...
What you did, man?
Hey, man, I'm not doing it just for grins, okay? I get tired of being manipulated by the news media telling me here's how you're supposed to feel about this story. We're going to make this the feel-good, Grimm's fairy tale for you. Get a big, fat smile on your face because we're going to tell you all about the guy that took his wife to the hospital and the big, bad, terrible, fascist, dictator, Gestapo cop that gave him a speeding ticket. I say thank you to the New Hampshire cops that gave this guy the ticket.
People are going to hate you.
Oh, come on, man. The kid was born. Everything's fine. This guy's got to pay a fine. Now we come to this other story. This is not quite as amusing. But nonetheless, it's a little girl that got, and I say a little girl, a 13-year-old girl recovering after being hit by a car. It happened Tuesday afternoon. The girl's mother says she is in a medically induced coma, but while at the hospital, her mother was given a ticket because her daughter was jaywalking.
Now that's bad, man. No way. No way in hell that a man give a little tiny baby like that a ticket.
Why not? She was jaywalking. She got hit by a car.
Yeah, but don't you think she noticed she did something wrong?
I don't know. Takara Davis was walking home from school when she was hit. Police won't speak about the case, saying it's an ongoing investigation, but witnesses say the teen was lagging behind friends when she was crossing the street. Every time doctors come in, they say that the bleeding hasn't stopped on the brain. She's got no feeling or movement on her left side at all. I mean, obviously, this is a ticket that'll get thrown out, especially if this poor child doesn't make it. But the fact of the matter is, you know, you say a guy doesn't need a ticket because it's obvious he got hit by a car, he knew he was jaywalking. That ain't necessarily the case. And I give you all the drunk drivers that we got that are still driving, and they got their own filing cabinet at the police department. All right, coming back here on the Phil Henry Show, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, lands some jobs as his story goes nationwide. And we're going to have on in our As You Like to Hear Them segment, Toss Rogers from WONI Radio Columbus on a job offer that he has for Ted, coming up on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and online at philhenryshow.com, our archives, our live streaming video and audio, our news feed, our blog, our comment section, our classic Phils, our uncensored rants. It's all there, baby. 877-876-PHIL. Ted Williams, homeless Ohio man with a golden voice, gets a job offer from the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's the latest news on Ted Williams, a guy who has, you know, inspired a lot of people. And we had this other story where the man wasn't able to get on an airplane from New York. What the hell happened to that, bud?
You had it. I didn't do nothing about it or anything.
Oh, don't give me that bull crap. I just had it, man. Where is it?
You did it.
In any event, the poor guy was trying to get on an airplane on his way to, I think it was New York. He had to do a series of interviews and was stopped. Oh, here's the story. Thanks, Jace. A Brooklyn panhandler. Well, he was in Ohio. Anyway, whose golden voice made him an overnight web sensation, was stuck in Ohio Wednesday afternoon, delaying his long-awaited reunion with his mother in New York. Ted Williams, 53 years of age, had expected to fly to New York to do a live interview on the Today Show tomorrow morning and see his 92-year-old mom after years apart. But TMZ reported that airport officials would not let him board a plane because he doesn't have proper identification to make the trip. True. Instead, he spent the afternoon at a Columbus, Ohio courthouse trying to obtain a copy of his birth certificate. A convicted felon for theft and a recovering addict, Williams was living in a homeless encampment in Columbus until 2 days ago when a video showcasing his startling talent went viral on the internet. We're going to talk to Tosh Rogers in a moment from WONI. Here is Ted Williams to remind you about his talent. Here's that clip from a viral video that was showcasing Mr. Williams' talent. And a video that has garnered nearly 3 million hits since the video was created over the weekend.
When you're listening to nothing but the best of oldies, you're listening to Magic 98.9. Thank you so much. God bless you. And we'll be back with more right after these words. And don't forget, tomorrow morning is your chance to win a pair of tickets to see this man live in concert. Thank you so much.
In an interview on the early show on CBS, Williams reacts to the sudden good fortune.
Oh, my God. It's just sensational for one. It's numbing for another. Overwhelming. I mean, there's so many words that I just, it's just amazing. I feel like, I've already been characterized as the Susan Boyle, I'm just so, so happy. And watch the CBS Evening News with Katie Couric. No, I'm just teasing right
now. Or, Ted, you could remind people to watch the early show with Erica Hill and Chris Raggi.
And watch the early morning show on CBS with Erica and Chris, or Chris and Erica.
Now, here Williams gets emotional as he talks about his mother and how his life will turn around.
My mom is just really, I'm going to be going to New York hopefully this afternoon, and please, I apologize, I'm getting a little emotional. I haven't seen my mom in a great deal of time since then, but she doesn't believe it, and she's 92, and she lives in Brooklyn. So, you know, God has been so good, and in the year 2010, on this date book that somebody gave me, I was going to write on there, well, another year wasted, but it was the year that I found God in my life. I mean, really a God of my understanding. And so it wasn't a wasted year, and I had no idea that something like this would have ever happened to me. It's like almost winning the Mega Ball lottery. And this is just phenomenal.
And here he explains what's next.
Well, I would like to just have a job and a home, an apartment or anything, you know, to be able to cook in. I'd like to, you know, just get my life in a responsible area of a 53-year-old man, a tax-paying citizen, and try to put some of my bad memories and everything. Well, I'm not going to forget where I came from, but I just want to put some of that on the back burner and continue with my life, whatever is left to live.
Well, there is, that's a heck of a story. It's a great story. And he's a guy that was in the radio business. And as somebody very cynically said on our Twitter feed today, but true, he said, you know, of course he's homeless. He works in radio. Anyway, Tosh Rogers from WONI is with us. It is time now for As You Like to Hear Them. And this is our interview segment in which we get the real truth out of the people that we choose to interview about the topics of the day. Tosh, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing real good, Phil. Thank you.
So you've offered this man a job, too, haven't you?
Yes, I have, and I'm hoping that he'll... I hope he'll take the job. I know that there's a lot of people that are offering him jobs. I hope he'll take the job.
What have you got for him?
You know, he'll be a disc... I don't know, a disc jockey. We can put him as a... he can play records or something. I want to make sure that people know that we've hired him, and then we'll give him a disc jockey job or something. I don't know how many jobs he's been offered. There may be a bidding. I don't want to get into a bidding thing. You know, I guess I could ask you, what do you think? Do you think that...
Well, you're right. I don't know. The Cleveland Cavaliers, there's at least one other station in Columbus. I think NFL Films.
Oh, for God's sake. You're talking about NFL Films. So, in other words, this is going to get into some money, isn't it?
I don't know. NFL Films offered him. He has a narrative. I'm listening to his voice. He could narrate. I don't think he should manipulate. I think he was doing kind of a goofy, you know, hey, the CBS Morning News.
Well, I'm not interested in that. I just wanted to know how much you think it's going to cost.
You?
Yeah.
Well, if he's got an offer from NFL Films, and I don't think that that's a job that's a 5-day-a-week job. I think that's a buy-the-job. You know?
I don't know what that means.
It's a voiceover. Do you know anything about voiceover?
No, I'm a radio station manager.
Oh, okay. It's a voiceover thing, which means that you get paid by the job.
Well, I'm hoping that they don't pay him anything so that I don't have to pay him anything, so that we get the promotional value out of it, and still I don't have to pay him anything, you know? You got to understand something, Phil. I'm used to paying guys $500 a month and putting their voices on about 1,000 radio stations. And if this guy's going to, you think he'll cost more than $500 a month?
Yeah, he will cost more than $500 a month, because if I hear that he's getting $500 a month from you, I may offer my services to him as an agent.
Boy, that sucks. I'm one of your colleagues, man.
No, this guy's one of my colleagues. You're a suit.
You think it's more than $500?
Yeah, it'll be more than $500 a month. Thank you, Toss. Boy, aptly named, man.
That's right. I toss it. 3-7.
Phil Hendry.
Woohoo!
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. If you go to our website, by the way, we have our Phil Hendry shop. We've got our classic CDs available there, our best ofs from 1997 forward, and then a new piece of merchandise is going to be...
Can't tell people what it is.
No, you may not tell people what it is. A new piece of merchandise, one of our legacy pieces of merchandise, but renewed, given new life, will be appearing there. 877-876-PHIL is the number, and philhenryshow.com, and Obama and Gibbs, they're parting ways. Robert Gibbs was the, I don't know, I realize this is one of the stories that people don't necessarily say, oh, wow, Robert Gibbs is leaving the White House. But it's interesting to guys like me and people in the business, because he was the press secretary. And he was always kind of a mumbling, stuttering, you know.
I don't understand what that guy, man. That guy was, I didn't understand a thing he said.
He was a mumbling, stuttering, in the words of Joe Pesci. Guy, here's Robert Gibbs saying his goodbyes.
It is an honor and a privilege to stand here, to work inside this building, to serve your country, to work for a president that I admire as much as President Barack Obama. I've been a...
Yeah, that's great. So now, I'm sorry, but you know what he said. So here he is basically saying goodbye.
What I'm going to do next...
What are you going to do? It's going to be... yeah. Tell me what... Okay.
The
right.
What do you? They've no record of
of you ever working
but,
there.
I think beneficial.
Okay. So that was Robert, and that's great. Robert Gibbs, the White House press secretary. What are you doing?
Betting on there.
Get out of there, man. Let me read it.
Was that real?
No, man, we put it together. It's a fun. I think Rance did a great job. He edited all of. That's Robert Gibbs, though. If ever you wanted a standard Robert
he's
Gibbs.
Probably your highness,
what the hell is that, man?
That's more interesting.
Get out of here with. If ever anything captured what Robert Gibbs does.
What I'm going to do next.
What are you going to do next? What are you doing next? Right.
They've no record of. But I think okay. Beneficial.
Yeah. Of you. Right. So anyway, Robert Gibbs he's been a remarkable privilege to be President Barack Obama's top spokesman, he said. Even when you wake up at 4 and pick up the paper and groan because you see yourself with no pants on. I would not trade the worst days here for many of my best days, even with my wife on vacation on a tropical island. I'd rather be here talking to you guys with my clothes on. Gibbs said he will leave the podium after the upcoming State of the Union address and never be seen or heard from again. Please don't send police. Please don't send out guard dogs or any search dogs or any of those basset hounds with the big noses and the big ears, because I don't care to be found, said Robert Gibbs. And that goes double for my family, and that goes triple for Obama. Gibbs, a Republican, then said goodbye. All right, in other news.
Was that real?
What do you think if that was real, man? Do you think that was real?
Yeah, it sounded like it was real. Yeah, that wasn't?
No, man. We took a bunch of uhs and ers and we put them together, so it sounds like this. Was it real? I'll tell you what ain't real, man. Neither one of you guys is real. Elizabeth Edwards, by the way, speaking of real, and this is as real as it gets, and I think it's pretty real. She wrote John Edwards out of her will a week before she died.
Now, that's hardcore, man. That's bad.
No, it ain't bad. No.
Nah, he cheated on her and everything like that.
Yeah, I know, but the guy, I bet you he showed up for the will and they're all like, yeah, and guess what? You don't get anything.
Well, if that's the way it is, then that's the way it is, okay? Shows up for the reading of the will, and from beyond the grave, Elizabeth said,
F you.
So here, Elizabeth Edwards cut her spouse out of the will less than a week before she died. The wronged wife of former presidential candidate John Edwards, who died last month after a courageous battle with breast cancer, left everything in her sole possession to her three children. That makes sense to me. That's
Do you think that appropriate and all the appropriateness of it?
Yes, I think that's the appropriateness of it, man. What the hell is she going to leave that slob? She's not going to leave him anything. After all of my furniture, furnishings, household goods, jewelry, china, geez, how'd they get a copy of the will so fast, man? This thing is like out in the...
Well, probably public record and all everything like that.
It is? All of my furniture, furnishings, household goods, jewelry, china, silverware, and personal effects, and any automobiles owned by me at the time of my death, I give and bequeath to my children, the will says. Edwards' eldest daughter, Kate, a lawyer, was named as the executor of the will, according to Inside Edition, which did obtain a copy by, rifling through the stealing it? How did you people get it? Anyway, I'm not above reading from it, so here I am. So they got a copy of the will. John Edwards was not mentioned even once, though his work as a trial lawyer generated the family's fortune. His net worth through courtroom work has been pegged at more than $25 million. Well, they were divorced, so she got... Were they divorced?
I don't know. Yeah, he had a lady or something.
Yeah, he might have had a... Well, I know he had a lady. He probably had about a half a dozen of them. But were they divorced? Because it says here that she was the wronged wife. Not divorced. So... The question that I have is, and I don't know how these things work, how do you, I thought everything goes to your, unless of course you name otherwise. Yeah, I think that's it. You don't want it going to the state. That's what you don't want to have happen.
What do you mean?
If you croak without a will, everything you have goes to the state, man. The state of California in this case. Or it goes to your surviving relatives, whoever they are. Now, you may have great relations with them, but life being what it is, many of us do not. The last people in the world some people want their stuff going to are members of their family. The last people in the world they want to see any of their stuff around are members of their family. If that's the case, then you have to have a will that specifically spells out where stuff's going. Otherwise, it goes to family and it goes to the state. And the state of California, baby, don't even worry about it. They got their mud hooks hanging out, waiting for that stuff to drop in there. So John Edwards was not mentioned even once in the will, and this is a little bit of editorializing here from the New York Daily News, even though his work as a trial lawyer generated the family's fortune. So the net worth pegged at more than $25 million. Edwards, who was 61, signed the document on December the 1st, 6 days before she passed away at her home in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. The cause of death was metastatic breast cancer. Metastatic breast cancer. Edwards was married for 33 years to former North Carolina Democratic Senator John Edwards, who twice ran for the presidency and cheated on her even after she was diagnosed with terminal cancer. They were separated, but the cad was by... Can I get a real news story one of these days? The cad was by his wife's side. That's editorializing.
Yeah, that's what he was.
I know, man, but I can't believe... the Edwards... I know he's a cad. I know he's a douchebag. I know all of those things. I don't need the New York Daily News telling me that. Just give me the facts of the story, Daily News, okay? Or have you guys forgotten how to do that? One of these days, you're going to forget how to deliver the newspaper, man. Then we're going to really find out how good you are. They were separated, but the cad was by his wife's side at the end. The Edwards had four children. Their eldest son, Wade, was killed in a car crash in 1996 when he was 16. Good Lord. This is a lot of tragedy this family's had. Edwards was her husband's top advisor during his 2004 run for the Democratic nomination. And during his stint as John Kerry's running mate, a day after the election loss, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. The cancer retreated after surgery and chemotherapy, and John Edwards decided to run again in 2008. Meanwhile, she wrote a bestseller called Saving Graces about her illness and losing her son. When the cancer roared back in an incurable form in 2007, both John and Elizabeth vowed to continue campaigning, but by then Edwards was already carrying on a torrid affair, quote-unquote, with New Yorker Rael Hunter. Edwards was finally exposed as a piece of garbage by the that was me editorializing, by the National Enquirer, a far better newspaper than the Daily News. He was stuck by his wife stuck by him despite his lies, his denials, and his overall douchebaggery until he accepted paternity of Hunter's baby daughter. That she could not abide. There it is, man.
Man, that's about as bad as did a guy would do that.
Yeah.
It's bad. There's no question about it. And this poor lady, Elizabeth Edwards, so she's just decided to take everything. Now, Edwards, of course, he's got a load of cash. Whatever she's got, and they, let's understand, my furniture, furnishings, household goods, jewelry, china, silverware, personal effects, and any automobiles. There's nothing in here about money. You understand that?
What do you mean?
There's nothing in here about cash. There's nothing in here about stocks. There's nothing in here about bonds. There's nothing in here about houses. It's furniture, furnishings, household goods, jewelry, china, silverware, and personal effects. So a lot of this has to do with the personal items that she amassed through her life, any automobiles that are in her name. There's nothing there about property. There's nothing there about money. And there's nothing there about, you know, the real big the big money, man.
Oh, so John Edwards, he's still got the big money then.
Well, John Edwards is he's the guy pulling the paycheck. So, yeah, obviously he's got the cash. But the point is, this is a statement by this woman from the date of her death and from beyond her death saying, you, pal, you don't get nothing. You don't even get to, you know, you don't even get to swim near it. All right.
Whatever that means.
Yeah. A dad donates money to a high school, but they reject the son anyway during the admissions process. So they get the money and then they say, great, well, you suck. You're not smart enough, but we will take the cash. Now a lawsuit. 877-876-PHIL is our number, our world-famous Phil Henry Show website, philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back as I sit here tonight watching, who is this man? Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon, and Kimmel wins. We'll be back.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
From the El Pacifico, every night here up with the fog and the sea lions, Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman with me here. Just one more segment in our program tonight. Lindsay Lohan was under the influence at the Betty Ford Clinic. Well, why not? If you got to be under the influence of drugs, alcohol, narcotics, you might as well be close to the Betty Ford Clinic because, you know, they can
probably detox you right there.
Right. Law enforcement sources tell TMZ's Palm Desert Police Department officials believe Lindsay Lohan was under the influence of drugs or alcohol while at the Betty Ford Clinic. What do you mean, law enforcement sources? What's that supposed to mean?
Well, the law enforcement is the sources.
Really? Are they supposed to be talking to TMZ?
Well,
are they supposed to be talking to TMZ?
No.
So you law enforcement sources out there at the Palm Desert Police Department, keep your big fat yap shut.
Yeah, but you read the story.
I may be reading the story, but this is a side note. Anyway, thank you for the story, TMZ. But you guys at the Palm Desert Police Department, in any event, the officials believe Lindsay Lohan was under the influence of drugs or alcohol while at the Betty Ford Clinic. As TMZ first reported, the PD believes Lindsay committed, Lindsay it is, huh? Now we're on a first name basis with this chick. Lindsay committed violations of her probation apart from the alleged December the 12th battery. They conducted a two-week investigation, and their report will go to the L.A. County Probation Department, even though they were in Riverside County. Actually, she's on probation in L.A. County, and Riverside County is where it all am at. A TMZ paparazzo, and by the way, that TV show is, I think TMZ has a very good website. Very good.
Yeah, they got a lot of information.
They do. But that television show with Harvey Levin hanging over the cubicle, and he's sucking on a on one of those flavored waters, that show blows. Whoa, baby.
Yeah, and he's making them interns look dumb.
TMZ paparazzo, here's one of these douchebags that Harvey sends out into the streets to harass people, spoke to Lindsay on her way to the gym yesterday, repeatedly commenting that her body looks good. He also makes reference to Sam or Samantha Ronson, Lindsay's ex-girlfriend. Rumors are that Lindsay has moved into a condo right next to Sam. So basically, this guy was trying to piss her off and get a comment.
How's it feel to be back in L.A., girl?
Yeah.
Good. Feels good? You're looking great. Looking amazing.
Thank you.
Hey, so you got the whole, like, you know, you and Sam got our next-door neighbors now. How you feel about that? What's it going to be like, girl? It's going to be party time?
No.
In a good way, though, like just, you know, exercising positivity and stuff like that. No, I was going to ask you, though. I got to ask. Does it feel like the Riverside Sheriffs are kind of, you know, going after you on?
I'm just going to the gym.
As you should, girl. It's a New Year's resolution. It's a new year. Tell them to leave you alone out there. Hey, work those glutes, girl. You're looking great.
You son of a bitch.
All right. What a jive-ass monkey that clown is. Did you hear that?
Yeah, what that guy all about?
He's trying to hit on her is what he's trying to do. That's what it sounded like to me. That's my woman, man. Unless you want a little bit of this. So anyway, TMZ first reported the PD believes Lindsay committed violations of her probation, and they believe she violated probation by refusing to submit to a breathalyzer. So anyway, she's in all kinds of trouble. And it's a sad thing. It really is. And that father of hers, that guy should only be put into some kind of restraint. I mean, what a traffic wreck that entire family is. And as long as you got your big fat mouth open, Mr. Lohan, people are going to be commenting. Yes, sir, you got it. You may be tired of it. It may be just unfair. And you wish that people would just leave your quote-unquote daughter alone. She hates your guts. Do you understand that?
Yeah, she said she hates him.
That's right. Your daughter hates you, man. She doesn't want you anywhere near her. Or, oh, I get it. You know her better than anybody, which I'm sure you do. But apparently you don't know her well enough because she wants you to stay away from her. You're a disease, man. You're like some maggot. You're like something that lives off of others, you know, just a leech, just a parasite. You got a big mouth. No one in the. Every time you open your yap on television, people want you to go away. Nobody can take it listening to you. That train wreck of a wife of yours is doubly disgusting. And meanwhile, your daughter is a drug addict. And you want to know why? Because of you. Because of you, sir. Because of you. You want to know what will cure her of the drug addiction? And a little for you, too, man. I mean, that guy, that Michael Lohan. I don't know if he has any friends, which I seriously doubt. They would go up to him and they'd say, do everybody a big favor, Michael. Seriously, you know, I'm your friend. Yeah. Shut up and go home. Well, the way they're treating Lindsay, just shut up and go home. Just go away, man. No one wants to see you, listen to you, talk to you. Nothing. And you too, Mrs. Lohan.
She's definitely a tramp.
All right. So we got Bart. This guy, this Bardwell, recalls that a school administrator. Wait a minute. Is this the father? Oh, I'm on to another story here.
Yeah, get rid of Lohan.
All right. Here's a story about the father who donated. Bardwell. Oh, that's not part of the story. Father who donated $40,000 to Jesuit private school sues when his son gets turned down because his son's an idiot. This man is named Dr. Michael Bardwell, and he spoke to ABC News. He laid $40,000 on these people. I guess he'd like to believe that the school he's going to enroll his son in is a school that will take money for enrollment, meaning it is not the high-class school that he thought it was. It's a place that'll take any dumbass as long as their old man is loaded.
I told him, well, I'd like, you know, if I do contribute, I would like for my son to know that my son's going to be attending this school. And he said, well, yes, of course. Obviously, I feel like I was misled and a certain sense of betrayal. But I think that it's also important to let other people know about this, too.
Right. So, in other words, if you're trying to grease the palms of the Jesuits, who happen to be, and I don't know if people know this, the Jesuits are they're the real intellectuals of the Catholic Church, the priesthood. These guys are brain surgeons. I mean, they are rocket scientists. They're brilliant. And if you send your kid to a Jesuit school, the kid's going to get a good education, and he's going to be challenged. But they don't want to mess around with some guy's dumb kid. So anyway, this Houston father donated tens of thousands of dollars to this prestigious private school. And now he's suing the institution, claiming the school administrators rejected his son despite promising that his generous contributions to the school would ensure his son's acceptance. Has Dr. Bardwell thought about this, though? Like we said, if the school takes your son because they got a cash bribe, does that mean that school is all that prestigious? Dr. Michael Bardwell told ABC News that he feels as though he was scammed by school officials at Strake Jesuit College Preparatory in Houston, where he himself graduated in 1973. So apparently the kid ain't a chip off the old block. Doc, you're a smart guy, and your kid, well, your kid got a lot of his mom's brains. According to Bardwell, a school administrator he met during a fundraising event while they were standing in the can going to the bathroom, suggested that in order to ensure his son, suggested that in order to ensure his son got into very competitive school, Bardwell should start contributing money. So let's go. Come on.
Well, I'd like my son, you know.
Yeah, no, no, no. Let's go. Come on. Let's see it. Let's see it. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. No, 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 no. More, 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 more. Anyway, they told me that they'd like, you know, give him a contribution, and we'll see what we can do. So this, they saw this guy coming. All right.
What's that mean, they saw him coming?
They knew that this guy was going to be a soft touch. Anyway, our show is produced by Jason Rantz, technical director Charles Wagon, and our associate producer Dan Northcraft, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, online at philhenryshow.com. philhenryshow.com. See you tonight.
Phil Henry.
You about done with your speech?